Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's Farming News and Views. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, with Christmas edging ever closer, it's an appropriate time for a change of tack in this evening's programme and to look at a subject that is closely associated with this time of year. Yes, I'm talking about the grand old Christmas turkey that adorns plates all over the country on December the 25th and also for a few days afterwards. Well, I'm joined on the line by Don Pearson of Don Pearson Foods of St. Johnston. Don, a very good evening. You've been involved in the turkey business for quite a period of time. First of all, like many other sectors in the farming community, I suppose there's been a lot of consolidation, not as many people involved as there used to be.
Well, that's very right, much right, because we're involved in the turkey business here. 32 years, I think it was 1984, my father put his first 12 turkeys in. So the time's gone on, as they say, but over the years we built it up and built it up to about a bigger enterprise than it is now. But with foreign imports and one thing or another, the numbers were reduced. There's less of demand during the year for the Irish turkey. It's more of a demand for imported turkey because it's just coming in at a lesser cost. But that reverts back to normal at Christmas, where people are still wanting the locally produced Irish turkeys. So there.
And at the end of the day, it's hard to beat the freshly produced one as well. And that's, as you say, there is a preference for that over the frozen.
Very much so, Chris, definitely. Well, as with all foods at the minute, like the big push for food provenance at the minute, for local, no matter what sort of food it is, and turkey's no exception to that, where people are really asking where the turkey is sourced from, and even if they don't be coming to me direct, they're asking butchers in local towns, you know, is your turkey coming from Pearson's, or butchers use it as a selling point, or, you know, our turkey's coming from Pearson's, so it's a local product.
You mentioned there the business goes back to the 80s, so over the years you've established a strong rapport with many butchers and hotels and people in the restaurant trade as well.
We're supplying some of the customers now, definitely over 30 years. Some of the original people are still with us. I was actually just telling a fellow who works for me today that we have one customer in particular in Letterkenny who got one of my father's first 12 turkeys. And he gets his turkey every year here without fail. And last year was the first time in my life I've ever actually spoken to the man. He never, ever rings to order his turkey. It's just taken us for granted that his turkey will be coming to his house on either Christmas Eve or the day before. And in that preceding time, he's actually moved house three times, unannounced to us, but we still managed to find him somewhere in Letterkenny.
So tell us a little bit about your business there in St. Johnston. Obviously, you have this seasonal peak, but during the rest of the year, you're still producing turkeys?
No, I'm not producing during the year now at all, Chris. Because it became a case of, if you can't beat them, join them. The demand was there for the foreign turkey, and so that's what I sell during the year. Now, I do have contact with a couple of other suppliers up the country, so if anybody needs it, I have a few hotels who use Irish turkey, and so I buy in a few Irish turkeys during the year. You know, every week I buy in 100 or something like that, you know, just to sort of supply those few hotels who still adamant they want Irish turkey.
So, tell us a little bit about the whole turkey production process, the small chicks, heat, light, food, what's important?
Sorry, Chris, we don't be involved in the heating and the light. The turkeys come to us at 5 weeks old. Years ago, we used to start the turkeys off a day old and take them on with the heat and all the phases. But there's people who are set up in business through the hatcheries, and their job is to rear turkeys to 5 and 6 weeks old for the likes of me and for anybody else, and for bigger companies around the country, their job is solely to rear turkeys for 5 to 6 weeks and then move them on to finishers like myself, because it's a whole different enterprise rearing a turkey from day old to 5 weeks as it is from 5 weeks to 20 or whatever day you decide, or whatever date you decide to kill. Yeah. I often say a turkey's sole ambition in life is to find a way to die, especially in that first 5 weeks where they're just so fragile.
So you have them for, what, about 15, 16 weeks?
Depending on the size, Chris, that the housewife wants at Christmas, you're looking at, if a housewife buying a 14-pound weight turkey, that turkey is approximately 14 weeks old, give or take a bit. But that's usually a good rule of thumb.
Now, has there been a change over the years in terms of preference for a larger bird or a smaller bird?
The turkeys have got smaller and smaller over the years. It used to be the average weight of a turkey would have been 18-pound weight. Yeah. It would be as low, well, the average weight now probably around about 13, 14. We would have people start ringing us up looking for 8s and 9s, which we do have. It's not so much a health warning given one, but a giveaway. You know, that turkey isn't ready for killing, Chris. It's young, it's immature, and while we do have those on supply, I don't really recommend them to anyone.
So you would say almost the bigger the better?
The bigger the better, within reason. Up to, for female turkeys, which is what everybody wants at Christmas, the ideal weight to be killing is around about 14 to 16. 20-pound weight, 20-pound weight's a big turkey. But typical at Christmas, people order too much, but everybody wants a lot because they're dependent on Boxing Day and all the rest of it. Like, so, listen, if they want a bigger turkey, I'm the man to do it. I'm not going to put them off, but I do know that the wee 14, 16-pound weight turkey is by far the most tender.
Yeah, and that probably reduction in size in terms of preference is largely due to maybe smaller families and less around the table?
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. It's all, in life we all know families are smaller. We have one customer in particular, the father of the household has actually passed on now, but when he started getting his turkeys off, maybe 20 years ago, he started off with a 14-pound weight turkey, and as the family got a bit older, increased it to 16, 18, 20. And then one of his sons moved away, and he came back and ordered a 14 and a 10 for one of the sons, and now the three sons have all started ordering 10, 12-pound weight turkeys, and have actually started to increase them now to 12s and 14s, as they have started to have their family.
Plenty of talk at the moment about the weather. In terms of the impact on the turkeys, are most of them indoors, or what way are they kept?
Turkeys are all indoor, natural ventilation. So they're like, people asked, are they in cages? People still assume that all birds are reared in cages, but our turkeys are farm fresh. They're in big open sheds. They don't get outside, but it's natural ventilation running through the sheds at all times. There's nothing forced about the ventilation. It's just, as I say, a completely natural ventilation system.
And in terms of the rations that you would use, what are they being fed with?
It's just a ration made up for the job. It's a high-protein ration, high-energy ration, because turkeys do demand. They're growing fast, so they need a lot to enforce them. Some companies use a mixture of maize or wheat along with the ration as well to cut cost. It's a balancing act. It costs cost, but it takes longer to rear the turkey as well. But we've always been in a situation where we just give the ration that's produced, and we haven't changed the ration now in over 15 years, and we never see a problem with it. We're producing the same quality of turkey year in, year out.
Well, at the farm gate, the producer rarely gets enough to put a smile on the face, and certainly in the poultry industry, the prices have never really risen too much over the years. Turkey remains, for the consumer, one of the cheapest forms of meat, and it does represent great value.
Turkey, it's unbelievable, because people, older generation, would still ask, you would still talk to them, they would ask you what price of turkey you're giving. They say, oh, no, turkey's £1 a pound. That's the way they still associate turkey, you know. But that, when it was £1 a pound, that was years ago when turkeys were being sold with the feet and the guts and everything on them. But now turkey's being fully produced, ready for the oven. But it's still a very cheap meat. Yeah. Like turkey fillet, you're talking about turkey fillet costing in around €11 a kilo. Well, fillet steak, you're €25 a kilo. So that just gives you a small example of the difference in price.
Now, we touched on it at the beginning of the programme, how it's not just Christmas time that people eat turkey, but, you know, we might have it one or two times during the year, but the demand at this time of year is phenomenal. How do you measure that demand? Is it pretty steady each year?
Oh, Chris, that's a million-dollar question. From the 1st of December to the around about lunchtime on the 24th of December, my heart is in my mouth all the time, trying to judge and trying to count figures and just watching what the demand is and making sure I have enough. And and just keeping things taken over. But the demand is pretty much the same year on year. But I found this year that there's a bigger demand primarily because of the strength of sterling. Because I have a few customers in Northern Ireland who would have left me over the years because I couldn't compete with the way sterling was, but this year obviously I can. And then a few of the suppliers who come in from Northern Ireland bringing turkeys out here, they can't compete out here because they're still having their costs in sterling and they're quoting what they need in sterling. So I'm picking up customers on both sides of the border, and it would just be solely because of the strength of sterling. So this year there's a lot of head scratching and who's getting this and who's getting that, and so it's a pressure time.
Yep. The general conception out there is that the economy's picking up. There might be a little bit more disposable income. People might be going out a little bit more this Christmas, and indirectly that's all good news for you. I mean, the hotels are certainly going to be busier, and turkey and ham is very much top of the menu.
No, for definitely, Chris. I've found that all year, even that the catering industry has moved on a lot this year. You know, there definitely has been a turnaround. Again, back to the strength of sterling, the catering industry and the hotel industry has been good all year, and it's definitely going to be no different this Christmas. I think all hotels are talking about their Christmas party bookings being up. And then hotels are actually busier from Christmas to New Year than they are during Christmas. A lot of hotels actually close for those couple of days over Christmas, but then they open again Boxing Day or the day after, and it's just a mental time for hotels then, which again means that I'm busy. We take Christmas Day off here, and it's back full swing then on Boxing Day morning, because I have deliveries to do for Boxing Day to start stocking people for New Year's Day.
And a couple of practical tips. If you're buying a fresh turkey, how close do you leave it to the day that you're going to consume it?
I would always say that if you're buying a fresh turkey, well, we don't let any person who comes to the farm gate to get their turkey. No, butchers are different. We're supplying them right from the 19th onwards. But anybody coming to us, and I tell all butchers the same, don't let anybody take their turkey before the 23rd. Take it on the 23rd, take it back, and get it into the fridge, or if you leave it late enough, get it into the oven straight away. People are always saying, "But oh, I need a big turkey, but it's too big for my oven and all the rest of it." And they don't like the leg meat and it's dry. Always cook the turkey upside down. Keep the breast in the fat, and then in the last hour, turn the turkey over, and your turkey will never be dry if you cook it like that. And preferably cut the legs off it. Even just cook the legs separately wrapped and put a tinfoil beside them, and the legs are probably ready about an hour and a half before the turkey themselves, because it's two smaller joints, but people associate a turkey as one joint of meat where it's actually three. So they should always remove the legs if at all possible before the turkey's fully cooked.
And you should know what you're talking about.
I would like to think so at this stage. If I don't know at this stage, I should nearly give up.
And just in terms of how labour-intensive it is for you, do they require a lot of care and attention?
During the rear, they don't really. Again, Chris, it's years of experience. You can spot problems before they arise. If turkeys do have a problem, they're quite quick at showing it. But the problem is when they start to show it, because there's maybe 400 or 500 turkeys in a shed. If there's a problem with one day, quite often that the whole shed will have it the next day. But touch wood, this last number of years, we've had never really any issue with disease. Right? I think it's a lot to do with that there's no one else. This is not a poultry-intensive part of the world. So there's nobody else really rearing turkeys or chickens in big numbers. You go up into counties like Monaghan, further down into Limerick and Cork, which are big poultry-rearing areas of the country. There would be disease problems, and it's just pure force of numbers that, like, they're talking about sheds with 4,000 and 5,000 turkeys in a shed, and maybe three sheds on a farm, and the next man's poultry farm will be half a mile down the street and down the road. So there can be problems like that, but thankfully, we have none here, and long may continue.
And finally, cranberry sauce, recommended or not?
I don't like it, but my father likes it, so we'll have to say yes to keep him happy.
Great, Don. Listen, many thanks for joining us. We wish you a happy Christmas, and hopefully you'll get all those turkeys out just at the right time.
Thank you very much, Chris. A pleasure talking to you.
Turkey producer Don Pearson of St. Johnston. Well, that's all we've time for this evening. Many thanks for joining us. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, have a very good week.